we've been in a series called Follow the Star. And for the 4 weeks of Advent, the working up to Christmas Day, we have been focusing on the story of the wise men, how they took a journey from being far away from God to walking through the valleys of life to discovering the joy and the power of Jesus. That's Matthew chapter 2 is where this story is. And in this story, when the wise men finally get close to Jesus, they're not there yet, but when they get close, in verse 2, they're at the religious center. They're kind of at the church of that day, which is Jerusalem. And they're searching for Jesus, and they ask King Herod. They say, we want to find the king of the Jews. And then they say this, because we've come to worship him. And that's really important to recognize, that the story of everything that the wise men went through, from being far from God, going through so much to get to him, was not just to say hello or to recognize that he's there, but it was to worship him. And today is the end of the story of the wise men, where we find out that when they get to Jesus, that is indeed what they do. They bow down and they worship him. That was the whole point of the journey, was to get to that place where they would worship the one true God. And so we want to remember that sometimes Christmas can feel like a time where we're just worshiping ourselves. What am I going to get me? Sometimes Christmas can be about just worshiping our family. I mean, we're so excited to have our family together, but that almost becomes the center. And we don't want that to become the center, because it wouldn't actually be the best way to experience family. What we really want at the center is Jesus. And the thing we want to worship the most is not the gift we get or the gift we give or who else is in the room. What we really want to do is worship him. As we've been talking about the story of the wise men, we've been talking about the fact that these wise men, they didn't know about the Holy Scriptures. They didn't really know anything about the Jewish faith or coming to them. They were total outsiders. And yet, they had enough, they'd heard enough about a king to be born, and had enough that they traveled so far because they were searching for a king. And more than that, they were searching for the same thing that you and I are searching for. You know, Christmas is really about finding what our hearts worship and long for the most. And even though these wise men didn't have a lot of religious background that was right about knowing who Jesus was, they had just enough that when they found him, they worshiped him. And that word, proskuneo, is not this issue of just like, hey, I salute you, thumbs up, Jesus, I agree with you. It was this idea of recognizing they were the lesser, and they were opening up their heart to what was greater, to God. And there's a real reason that all of us need Jesus in our lives. A real reason that our hearts were actually built to worship him. And we want to talk about that today. Because the one thing that no Christmas gift can give us, and the one thing that Jesus really is all about, and when we find him, our hearts know it, is this right here. This idea of peace. Real peace. That, you know, it's funny because we almost, man, I mean, we kind of know that when the angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, he said, you know, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Like, we know peace is part of it, but we almost forget about it in the way we live out Christmas, because it's almost like Christmas is anything but peace, right? It's like I'm trying to rush and get those final gifts in, and nobody in here still has gifts to get, right? Totally done, correct? Okay? Yeah, you know, I mean, and you were counting on online. But online, it's going to cost you $279 to rush ship it, and then even then, it's not a guarantee anymore. And what you were buying was $9.99, you know? It's like, you know, I mean, it gets stressful. And you're coordinating, traveling, and trying to get people here, and it's almost like we forget that Christmas is about peace. About peace. That's what the fourth Sunday of Advent is always about. We light the candle, the light of peace in a busy and a stressed out life. And when the wise men came, they discovered a king, but he was way more than just the king of the Jews. He was actually the Prince of Peace. That's why their hearts really worshiped. And we want to look at that today. You know, we think of the word peace, and we tend to think of the absence of problems. I'll have peace when nothing is wrong in my life, right? Well, that's not the peace of the Bible. A matter of fact, the Hebrew word for peace, you may have heard it before, it's this idea of shalom. And this idea of shalom, it's more than just the absence of conflict or war. It's actually something much more. The true biblical shalom refers to a deep inward sense of completeness or wholeness. It's a peace that's not based on whether my circumstances are right or wrong. It's that I have everything I truly need inside me. One of the ways some of you are going to experience peace, the shalom of God, is on Christmas morning, family members who have been away will have traveled to come and be with you, and you'll be at Christmas, and the gifts will be nice, but what will really bring you joy is that no one's missing. That's shalom. It's like everybody's here. And that's the idea of this, that I could go through difficult things on the outside and still have real peace that isn't based on how people are treating me or what's in my bank account or the gifts under the tree or anything like that. There's something deeper. A lot of us are familiar in Numbers chapter 6, the high priestly prayer that actually is a blessing of peace upon people. Did you know that prayer was said right before the Jewish people were going into battle? Like it was right before they were facing an enemy? So the peace that God was wishing on them, and he was wishing them shalom, didn't have to do with the idea that nothing is hard. There's a deeper peace than that, that God wants to give you and I. And I think all of our gifts, when we give gifts, we kind of want to contribute to the idea of peace. Like we want it to be a blessing. We want it maybe, oh, I've always needed this or I've wanted this. We want someone to feel like they have everything they've wanted. But real peace doesn't come from what you get on the outside. A matter of fact, if you don't have peace, what does it matter what you get? You know, if you don't have peace in your heart and you get the job you wanted and you get the person that you wanted in your life, but if you don't have peace in here, you really can't enjoy any of it. Because peace is something in here, and when we have it, then we can enjoy and live a full life with everything we have. The Bible scholar talking about this idea of peace says, shalom, God's peace, is a fullness and a wholeness that encourages you to give back, to generously repay and give to others. It's almost like I've got so much. You know, my life on the outside might not be perfect, but everything I really want, I've got. So, hey, what do you need? It's like being that fulfilled that you have room to give and you're not always looking to get. It's a deep, inward, overflowing wholeness that doesn't depend on outward circumstances. And that's the peace that the angel declared, and that's the peace that Jesus came to offer. The wise men, they finish up with worship. And when you worship the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, you actually get peace in your life. Every person in this room right now, someone is ruling over your heart. Right now, you're counting on something for peace. And the question is it Jesus? So let's look at that together. Real and on earth peace to men that we sing about on Christmas, that every heart longs for, it's only found in worshiping Jesus. So let's see through the story of the wise men a little of the truth that the Bible always talks about. Here's the first we've already talked about. Peace comes when I make Jesus the ruler of my heart. The wise men thought that Jesus was a king, but they didn't understand what king he really was of. They thought he was just of a nation and a people group. But Isaiah 9:6 says, why don't you read it with me out loud? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom, of this wholeness of what I really want in life. The world tends to say, to get peace, I don't need problems, and I need, like, if I have more, just give me more. Well, I think Christmas time is a reminder that you can get things and they still not bring you peace. All right? I'm particularly thinking of one aspect of Christmas, and that is Christmas gifts. Because Christmas gifts remind us that you're not going to have peace if you don't have the instructions to what you've been given, or you don't know how to follow them. Can I get an amen for that? Any poor, some assembly required people in the room with me this morning, all right? Sarah and I, in our spontaneous, super romantic Christmas, can I get some water? I'm a little choked up here this morning. Thank you. It's actually my daughter's water bottle. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Kate. Merry Christmas. Thank you. That's better. For Christmas, Sarah and I, our home computer is like 12 years old. So we got a new computer. Now, I got this new computer. We got the gift. But guess what? I have no clue what's going on. All right? Like, I got this new computer. It's supposed to do all these things. I'm like, I like the old one. I knew what I was doing. And so I've got this gift, but is it bringing me any peace yet? No, because I don't know how. I don't know the instructions. I don't know how to use it. And there's, like, we can get a lot of gifts, but if we don't understand how to use it, there's going to be no peace to it. All right? Anybody remember these bad boys? I mean, thankfully, someone finally figured out that 10,000 buttons on a remote control is not helpful. All right? You remember this? Right? All right, I did a Google search for the most complicated remote controls, and this one came up. This one's in my house. I have this one. Okay, I was like, no wonder. I'm trying to change a channel, but accidentally turning on the microwave. I don't know how. I'm like, what is going on? I just want to go up one. That's all I want, and I just can't seem to do it. It's like, you know, you can have a gift, but if you don't know how to use it, no peace. Look, God. The heart God has given you is a gift. It's got amazing abilities. It can forgive when forgiveness doesn't seem possible. It can hope when everything seems defeated in your life. It can love when someone doesn't give you much reasons to love them. I mean, this heart that God has given you, that heart inside of you has so much ability. But if you don't know the instructions to that thing, it's not going to bring you any peace. I love this quote because it's not just about the instructions, but maybe we got the instructions, but we don't actually know how to put it together. A quote from some writer said this, the greatest advantage to not celebrating Christmas with small kids is that you need not be cursed by the three most terrifying words that the government allows to be on printed on any product. Some assembly required, right? Like, good luck, because when I put things together, they look like that. All right, it's just like, it's like, Lord, help me. I got the instructions, but I don't have the ability to put this thing together. A matter of fact, you know what brings me the most peace when I got to put something together? Someone else who knows how to put it together. That's what brings me the most peace, right? And the truth is, our hearts are the same way. Our hearts are this amazing gift that we're going to look at the instructions in a moment, but the Bible says that in our heart, we don't even know how to really follow the way it's supposed to be made because in the end, we're just selfish. And we need someone who's actually, when this heart breaks, we need someone who knows how to put it back together the right way. And I'm telling you what, contrary to every Hallmark movie, it is not the world's way of doing it. There's a deeper way for hearts really to get healed. The scripture says in Jeremiah 17, says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. As a matter of fact, you think, you feel one way, and you think this is going to be the answer, and it's not, okay? And it's desperately wicked. In the end, the heart always tries to heal itself by selfishness. I'm just going to get what I want. And lots of love songs and movies are based on it. And the truth is, it really doesn't put your heart back together the right way. Who really knows how bad it is? We live in a world that says, follow your heart. The Bible says, do not follow your heart. Follow the one who created your heart. That's a better choice. Because the one who created your heart knows how it works the right way. The Bible says your heart can't have peace if you don't know how it works or how to put its pieces back together again. So you and I, every one of us, we need to make a choice who's ruling our heart. Right now, you've got a ruler of your heart. You've got someone or something that you're trusting will lead your heart the right way. And the question Is it the one who actually made your heart and knows how it works? Because the instructions to your heart, they're not actually that complicated. A matter of fact, let me show them to you right now. Here are the instructions to your heart. It's called the Ten Commandments. Now, here's the thing. The Ten Commandments aren't some ninja warrior course where God's like, if you get through this, you get to go to heaven. That's not what this is. The Ten Commandments are just a list of instructions of how the heart that God created works. God created it, and he knows how it works. He knows if you put another God before him in your heart, that the very one who designed your heart, who could take care of it, if you put any other God before him, it's going to go bad for your heart. He's the one who said, do not covet. In other words, your heart can't live in peace and always compare yourself to everybody else and always want what everybody else has and always wish you had their life. That's not a heart. You're not going to have peace. These are not some religious rules to decide whether God's going to be happy with you or not. These are rules about how your heart works and how real relationship work, especially with him. That's what this is. This is the instructions. The problem is we can even get the instructions and not put our hearts together the right way. Because the Bible says all of us have sinned. All of us choose our own way. And we've got this problem that we, even when we get the instructions, can't follow them. Because in the end, my heart's always going to default to, I don't care. That's what I want. And that's always going to break it some more. So what we've got to do is we've got to recognize that Jesus is the one who created our heart. He knows how it works. He knows how to put it back together. We don't. Can we just confess? Let's just get out. We don't know how our hearts work, and the world certainly doesn't. You know, I know last Christmas you gave him your heart. And the very next day, he gave it away. And you're thinking, this Christmas, how's the rest go? To save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Like the guy last Christmas you didn't think was special, okay? Like that heart, it's deceitful. Don't trust it. Colossians 3 tells us, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Let Christ be the one. So I don't know in your life right now who's ruling. Like, it's like, once I get that money, I'll feel fine. Once I get that job, I'll feel fine. Once I get that person, I'll get the fine. I don't know what's the king, but peace is not really possible until you say, Jesus, you're the one who created my heart in the first place. How about you be the ruler of it? And no matter what you're facing today, wherever you're losing peace right now, Jesus, would you be king over that part of my life? It'll be amazing. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. You can have peace today no matter what you're facing. Peace comes when I make Jesus the ruler of my heart. And this second one, I don't know if I said it as well as I could, but and make him the sacrifice to take your place. It's the idea of when we worship and say, you alone, Jesus, we're not just saying, Jesus, I worship you because you made my heart and you know it. We're also saying, Jesus, I worship you. We sang it. We sang it today because you not only came as a baby to come and to give your life for me, but on the cross you gave your life for me, and you're my sacrifice. It's called the doctrine of substitution. That what I, my broken down, messed up heart, Jesus, on the cross, you forgave me of my sins, and you gave me a new heart in you. I got to make a literal swap. That's what Isaiah 53 says about the coming Messiah that Jesus was. Why don't you read it out loud with me? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's what happened on the cross. You know, we talk about having a broken heart. We talk about broken relationships and marriages. And literally, when Jesus was on the cross, he was literally taking your place. Because every marriage finishes like this when they don't follow the word of God. And every family finishes like this when they don't trust the one who made family and the one who made his heart. Every community looks beaten and broken and tortured when they don't follow. When Jesus put his life on the cross, he wasn't just theologically saying, I'm saving you. He was saying, this is what your life would look like without me. I'll go there. The one who sinned not, the one who walked the right, having a heart pleasing to Father God, he literally at the cross said, I'll take your place. You don't have to have this ending in your life. Your marriage does not need to look like this. Your family does not need to look like this. I'll look like this. And then what I want for you is I want you to receive the gift that I have for you. Romans 7, the Apostle Paul says, what a broken man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Paul's saying, I know the law. I know the instructions. I know how I'm supposed to do this. But I'm so broken, I keep doing the wrong thing. He says, thanks be to God. My answer is through Jesus Christ, the gift he gave me. In my mind, I know I should be a slave to God's good commandments. I should follow the instructions for this heart and do it right. But in my selfish, sinful nature, my heart is a slave to the brokenness and the pain of sin. So what's the answer? The answer is, I'm going to stop trying to repair this thing. I'm just going to ask for a new one. Lord Jesus, would you give me a new heart? Would you fill me with a new spirit? And that's what the scripture in Romans 8, the very next chapter, Paul's talking about this. He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, be ruler of my heart, be the one I trust in, and believe where? In your mind? No. In your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We sang that song this morning. Jesus, you alone. We talked about the resurrection. It's in trusting in him. And it's not so much our mind. It's not that the brilliance and wisdom of God can't be fill your mind forever and ever and ever and not finish discovering something new. But the truth of what the Bible says is the reason why, I'll meet people who are like, well, I don't know if I believe in God. And I'm like, yeah. Is it that you don't believe in God or you don't want to believe in God? Because if you believe in God, then you're accountable. But if you can kind of throw off the idea that there's someone to be accountable for, then that's kind of nice. Because then I kind of do whatever I want. I don't have to feel bad about it. I don't have to sense any consequences other than whatever I manage. The truth is, and what the scripture says, is that mind of yours and mine, it follows my heart. So if my heart is looking honestly and humbly for God, my mind will discover him. But if my heart wants nothing to do with him, then I'll come with all of the religious debates and theological debates you could ever come up with. Because why? Because is it really my mind that's the issue? It's not. It's right here. This is the issue. My heart's trying to find eternal, unstoppable life the wrong way. And so the scripture goes on to say, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, forgiven, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. It doesn't mean that you didn't feel it in the past, but once you trust in him, this issue of shame is going to leave your life because he is with you, because he's the one now who's given you a heart that is right. And so I want to encourage you this Christmas. Boy, sure be nice to get your favorite gift under the Christmas tree, but if there's no peace here, how good is it really going to be? Maybe it'll distract you for a little bit, but that's sooner or later, the old saying comes true, wherever you are, or wherever you go, there you are. Can't run from your heart. So peace comes when I make Jesus the ruler of my heart and the sacrifice to take my place. That's why we worship him. Thank you for taking my place. Thank you for giving your life for me. And then this last one, I feel like this is the brilliance. This is kind of the plot twist of Christmas right here. The idea that in worship, we come and adore him. Now, I want you to think about this. The heart is the issue. The heart's always the issue. So history is filled with dictators who demanded people would follow them and even worship them, but they never had what? The heart of the people. And so did that ever last? No, because in the end, it's the heart that we've got to, the heart is what has to believe and choose, I will follow this king. So what does God do? Because God has this interesting, he's built the heart, and he knows how it works, right? How could God keep our hearts from losing focus and going back to sin and selfishness? Is it just God commanding us, don't sin, totally love me. I'm forcing you right now to love you, love me with all of your heart, mind, soul. You know, is that going to work? No, and that's the brilliance of Christmas. And I'm going to try to explain it to you, but I don't know how well I can do it. Because really, the Bible says that God not only went and gave his life on the cross, but the very event of Christmas, that God himself was born as a child, was God's way of drawing your heart to him like none other. Every Christmas Sunday, we take a little bit of risk, and Nate's already not looking happy. Oh! Oh, let me hold him anyway for a minute. Is it this front okay? Ooh. Oh, oh, this is little Nathaniel. Oh, oh. He's not happy because we have the same haircut. He's like, really? It's okay. It's okay. There you go. Are you okay? How long is this going to last? You're so wonderful. The Bible says that the God and creator of all the universe chose this way to come to the world. Not as a conquering king. Not as a despot that demanded something, but someone who invited us to adore him. Because that's the only way a heart stays in peace. You can't religious outline peace in the heart. You can't just mentally tell a heart, stay with me. What you got to do is you got to become what the heart longs for and just wants to be around. You know, I'm pretty sure Hannah and Tim are pretty incredible parents. I'm pretty sure they don't think about little Nathaniel once a week. What they've decided is this new life in me needs every minute, every hour of my life. It's kind of interesting because I just have to die to selfishness to take care of this life, don't I? And Hannah said, amen. Like, you could tell me, stop being selfish. Or you could just give me something to love so much that I choose that life over selfishness. And that's, I'm not going to say it very well. It's the mystery of what we celebrate is that the God Almighty who could level mountains and cause seas to part said, the way I'm going to come into this world is what your heart really needs. You need to learn to adore the one who adores you. So he comes as a little child, not as a conquering king. Because conquering kings can make you do stuff on the outside, but they can't change the inside. This little guy, my heart can just follow. My heart can just say, I want to take care of you. And when you say yes to Jesus, it's just like that. You've got this new life in you. And you've got to take care of it. And thinking about this life once a week is probably not going to go well. No, this life needs a little bit all the time. And sometimes this new life confronts your selfishness and you got to make a choice between would I like some sleep or does the baby need to eat? And you just got to make a choice. I think I'm going to take care of the life that God's given me. That's Jesus. You know, religion would say, think about God once a week, do a bunch of things he tells you to do. But the message of Jesus and the gift of a Prince of Peace is that there's a God saying, hey, I want to come in your life, and I want you to care for this new life, because the world around you, it just does it all wrong, and it's trying. It just doesn't know any better. And what I want you to do is I want you to take care of my life in you like you would take care of one of these. Just every day, every minute. And when you start getting weary, when your selfishness gets confronted, and you got to make a choice, choose to take care of the life that I've given you. Because I'm telling you what, if you'll do that, In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm the King of Kings. You know, not everything's going to work out in the week, in the month, and those things, but you can have a peace regardless if you'll just take care of my life in you. The ruler, the king of our hearts, the bravest warrior who ever did the greatest act of selflessness on the cross is also the one who says, would you hold me and take care of me and just choose me? And we talked last week that the wise men, the gifts they gave were not inexpensive. They were amazing amounts of money. And it was because they gave them because Jesus was worth so much more. These parents, I mean, not to scare you or anything, you are about to pay a lot of money for a really long time. You know, take care of a kid. And it's worth it, right? It's like, sure, that's what I do. I mean, that's why I've got the money, is to take care of life. And, you know, and it's just like, that's when you finally, Jesus finally comes in your life the right way. It's like, yeah, whatever. Whatever it means just to take care of him and nurture him in my life and enjoy him and see him thrive and grow, whatever it is, that's, yeah, sure. It's not an issue. Because that's what my heart adores. That's what my heart really adores. And so, it's such a busy Christmas with so much to do. Nate, you are doing amazing. Good job. Ooh, no, okay, I won't talk to you. Okay, somewhere going. You're doing good. But I just feel like today's a moment to slow down a little bit and remember that the journey to Christmas is about worshiping Jesus. Because that's what we all need. And nothing else is going to give it to you or to me today. So I don't know who's ruling your heart right now. I don't know if it's by default or you've made a clear decision to try to trust somebody or something to say, hey, as long as I got this, I'll be okay. It's like, well, Jesus is it. And I don't know the last time, you know, in a world that teaches you to covet, which is like, I want what everybody else has. And Christmas is all about like, I need this, this, and this. Maybe we need a fresh moment to remember what we do have. Remember who gave his life to you on the cross. Remember who loves you more than anybody else and went through the cross to care for you. Maybe you need this, you need that. Maybe you need to see what you already have because you got someone who's with you. And just take a fresh moment instead of religiously saying yes to Jesus, do this with Jesus. Hey, Jesus. This life and this part of my life, you know, you're not very big in that part of my life yet. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure you get fed. I'll hold you close and I want you to grow. I want you to grow a lot in that area of my life. Like if you'll do that, you'll have this peace that passes all understanding. You'll have a peace that nothing in this world can give you. And if I can say it one more time, you'll have the right type of peace to give your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, we can't give what we don't have. So if we want peace in our relationships, then the first place it starts is in us. And you gotta humble yourself to take care of a little one, right? This isn't a big proud moment. This is just like, I love them, what we gotta do, what we gotta clean up, what we gotta change. It's just humble hearts that take care of the peace of Jesus in their life. So we're just going to finish with a moment and a prayer of peace and a song of peace. Pastor Brandon mentioned, ooh, you okay? Okay. So cute. Pastor Brandon mentioned that we're going to take our offering in a moment. If you're a guest with us, you know, that's no obligation for you. We just want you to enjoy. We want you to receive peace today. We don't need you to give anything. But we want to ask the Prince of Peace to come into our lives in a new way. So with a really light clap, can you say thank you to Mr. Nathaniel? Light clap. Thank you, buddy. You were terrific. Thanks, Hannah. Thanks, Hannah. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying. Why don't you stand and let's just pray. Three places to ask for the Prince of Peace to come into your life today, for Jesus. First, you just may have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, the King of your heart. Man, what better gift this Christmas. How much more can you enjoy everything else if you've got peace in here? The Bible says the whole idea of sinful nature, we're just selfish. We choose our own way over anybody else, over God. And we just need to ask forgiveness. God, forgive me for the wrong things I've done. Come into my life. Give me a new heart. I choose you. Take my sinful life. I want to receive yours. And then, God, I promise to hold on to it and nurture it and grow it. So it might be your first time decision. For others, there's just an area of life today. There's an area of life that you just don't have peace. And you need to make Jesus the ruler in that area of your life again. I just want to encourage you in a moment. You're going to have a moment to just say that prayer. You're just going to talk to God. Say that to him. And then I really feel that. I mean, there's just some people, that idea of that basic instruction of the heart, do not covet. Stop looking around and wanting to be like them, and have theirs. Stop it. Your heart is going to get sick doing that. And you just need to say, Lord, forgive me. The heart you gave me, the life you give me, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. But I believe that you've got good plans for me. I believe that this heart and this life is going to be glorious for you and a joy to me. You just got to hear that again this morning. And so I'm going to give you a moment of silent prayer. And in that moment of silent prayer, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just take that moment and say, Lord, would you come into my life? Forgive me. I want to begin a new life with you. If you've got an area that you're not having any peace, just give that to God in that moment. And if you're just living in comparison and coveting, just ask the Lord to free you from that right now. Say, hey, God, the life you've given me, good enough. Matter of fact, it's going to be great. Take that moment, and then I'll pray for you. Father in heaven, we honor your name today. We ask for your kingdom of peace to come and your will to be done in our hearts and in this world as it is in heaven. We're asking that you would come and forgive us of our sins. We remember the sacrifice. We choose to remember what we have in you today. And we, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every voice of the enemy over people's lives will be broken. And I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for trusting in other things besides you. Become the Prince of Peace in every area of our life. And Lord, set us free from comparison. Let us live the life you've given us, run the race you've given us, being confident that the one who began this work in us is going to be faithful to complete it. Lord, you're going to finish, we're going to finish with you with more than we could ask for or even imagine, according to the power of you in us. Lord, let your power, let your love, let your peace rule and reign today. We just choose to finish in worship, knowing that you, the Prince of Peace, is with us. Would you just keep that heart of worship? Ushers, if you would come forward. Pastor Brian's going to lead us in a moment of worship. Just enjoy it, church family. Enjoy giving through your tithes that worship as well. Let's just finish celebrating the Prince of Peace.